When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Skims or Allbirds, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and great marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. It's home of Shop Pay, the number one checkout in the world. You can use it to boost conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going through to checkout. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Allbirds uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/income.
Hello, this is Dr. Grande. Today, I will analyze the case of Lakin Snelling. First, I'll look at the background of this case, move to the timeline of the crime, then offer my analysis. Lakin Snelling was born on December 22, 2003, and was raised in White Pine, Tennessee. After high school, she attended the University of Kentucky, where she majored in interdisciplinary disability studies and was a member of the cheerleading team. Lakin lived in a residence on the 400 block of Park Avenue in Lexington with a few roommates. Now moving to the timeline of the crime. On Wednesday, August 27, 2025, at about 10:30 a.m., one of Lakin's roommates called the police and reported that an unresponsive infant was in their residence. The infant was cold to the touch. When the police arrived, they looked in the closet of Lakin's bedroom and found a black trash bag. In the bag, there was a deceased infant wrapped in a towel. Right after this, Lakin arrived at the residence. The police confronted her about their discovery. Here is the story that she supplied to them. At 4 a.m. that day, Lakin gave birth alone in a room. Her baby fell on the floor. She did not think that he was breathing or alive. About 30 minutes later, Lakin passed out and landed on top of her son. When she woke up, he was turning blue and purple. She wrapped him in a towel like a burrito and lay next to him, finding a little comfort in the moment. Lakin fell asleep. She woke up when her alarm went off at 7:30 a.m. At this point, she stuffed her son into a trash bag, which she had retrieved from the kitchen. She hid his body in the closet. Lakin showered and used paper towels to clean up the blood in her bedroom. Lakin's roommates heard noises at around 4 a.m., which lasted for about an hour. They said it sounded like something had fallen. One roommate reported that whatever caused the noises was so forceful, it knocked a pitcher off her wall. At 8:48 a.m., Lakin responded to Snapchat messages sent by her roommates inquiring about the noises, explaining to them that she passed out because she had not eaten and was not feeling well. She was planning on seeing a physician. Lakin left the residence to drive to a class, which started at 9:30 a.m., although she never actually went to that class. Lakin ended up going to a McDonald's and placing an order. She then drove to the student health clinic, but never went inside. While Lakin was gone, her roommates entered her bedroom to locate the source of the noises. Again, they had heard these noises at 4 a.m. They had suspected that Lakin was pregnant, but never confirmed their suspicions, so it's not surprising they would investigate. After entering her bedroom, they found Lakin's son unresponsive in the closet. One of the roommates called the police, who arrived at 10:34 a.m. When Lakin returned home, the police were waiting for her. 4 days later, on Sunday, August 31, 2025, Lakin Snelling was arrested and charged with abuse of a corpse, tampering with physical evidence, and concealing the birth of an infant. She is facing up to 11 years in prison if convicted of all counts, although realistically, her sentence would probably be nowhere near that length. On September 2, Lakin was released on a $100,000 bond and went to live with her parents in Tennessee. She is no longer a student at the University of Kentucky. The state determined that Lakin's son was born full term, but they were not able to determine his cause of death. Further microscopic analyses are necessary to make that determination. At the time I'm making this video, Lakin is working her way through the criminal justice system. Now moving to my analysis. It seems pretty clear that Lakin is guilty of concealing the birth of an infant and the other two charges that were filed against her. She, of course, maintains the presumption of innocence, but the case against her seems pretty strong. The real question here is not about these charges, rather about the culpability that Lakin may have in the death of her son. Was he alive when he was born? If he was alive, was his death accidental, the result of reckless conduct, or the result of intentional conduct? If he was already dead, or his death was accidental, then Lakin will probably not be charged with additional offenses. If his death was the result of reckless or intentional conduct, then she could be in serious trouble. This brings me to the question, is Lakin guilty of murder or manslaughter? Let's take a look at the evidence both for and against the idea that she is guilty, starting with the inculpatory factors. On August 27, 2025, Lakin Snelling gave birth to a son. She wrapped him in a towel, stuffed him in a trash bag, and put the trash bag in the closet. Lakin told the police that she believed her son was not alive. Her story about passing out and landing on top of her son makes it seem like she may have killed him by accident. The problem is, she was awake for 30 minutes after giving birth, yet did not call for help. One could make a good argument that this qualifies as reckless. Furthermore, she later told a different story to hospital staff. Lakin said she observed a little bit of fetal movement and she heard a whimper. She guessed that her son was alive. On August 26, the day before the police were called to her home, Lakin searched the internet for the term concealed or hidden pregnancy. She also made other searches related to pregnancy. The police found images on Lakin's phone of her in labor. Some of these images had been deleted. This makes it seem like Lakin was trying to keep it a secret. Perhaps Lakin was so determined to conceal the pregnancy, she murdered her son to complete this objective. Moving to the exculpatory factors, the state of Kentucky has not been able to determine the cause of death of Lakin's son. If he was not alive when he was born, then there was no murder. If he was alive, which is reasonable to believe based on the available evidence, there's no way to prove Lakin was lying about passing out and landing on top of him. Maybe this is what killed him. Perhaps this is reckless, but it is certainly not intentional. When considering all the evidence in this case, do I believe that Lakin is guilty of murder or manslaughter? In my opinion, she is guilty of murder in reality, but not guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. It seems clear that she intended to conceal the pregnancy. Killing her son would have been a necessary step to accomplish this objective. Due to a lack of evidence to prove murder, either second-degree manslaughter or reckless homicide is probably the appropriate charge in this case. I think the state can prove that Lakin acted recklessly when she ignored clear signs of life and when she failed to seek help. In the state of Kentucky, second-degree manslaughter requires recklessness, consciously disregarding a known risk. Reckless homicide, despite its name, actually involves negligence, not recklessness, failing to recognize a risk that a reasonable person would have perceived. As I mentioned, Lakin has not been charged with murder or manslaughter. She may never be charged, and that would be the end of it. If she is charged, it is possible that her defense will be based on denial of pregnancy. Let's take a look at this construct. Denial of pregnancy is an unusual thought process that occurs in about 0.25% of deliveries. The result of denial is often concealment of the pregnancy, but concealment is technically a separate act. It is possible for a woman to conceal the pregnancy without actually denying the pregnancy. There are three types of denial of pregnancy. The first type is pervasive denial. With this type, which accounts for about 1/3 of the cases, the emotional significance and the very existence of the pregnancy are outside of the woman's awareness. All the physical symptoms of pregnancy, like weight gain and even labor pain, are misinterpreted. With pervasive denial, family and friends often do not know the woman is pregnant. The second type is affective denial. This is the most common type, accounting for about 50% of the cases. With affective denial, only the emotional component of pregnancy is denied. The woman feels and behaves as if she is not pregnant. There is no emotional investment in the pregnancy, but the woman does cognitively realize that she is pregnant. So as they relate to the pregnancy, thinking and feeling are separated. The third type of denial of pregnancy is psychotic denial. This is the least frequent type. Here the woman is delusional. She is out of touch with reality. The psychosis leads to the denial of the pregnancy. People who are psychotic can maintain all kinds of unusual beliefs, For example, they are being chased by demons, the CIA is spying on them, or alien lizard humanoids have infiltrated Hollywood. Their refusal to believe that the pregnancy is real is simply another delusion, which may or may not be accompanied by other delusions. About 50% of women with denial of pregnancy have a mental disorder, although this figure is probably underestimated. Only 23% of women with this condition report a mental health history. Denial is strongly associated with unassisted delivery, and there is a dramatic increase in the risk of the child dying, especially within the first 24 hours following birth. Now moving back to the case of Lakin Snelling. One can make a good argument that Lakin was suffering from denial of pregnancy at the time of her son's death. Affective denial seems to be the most likely type based on the facts of this case, but there is no way to know for certain at this point. In the event that Lakin is charged with something like murder or manslaughter, she will have this defense available. This will make it more difficult for the state to get a conviction. Even if they do get a conviction, the denial of pregnancy could be a mitigating factor at sentencing. For many years, women who killed their children immediately after giving birth received sentences consistent with other killers, like a person who kills the clerk at a convenience store during a robbery, or an individual who kills a romantic competitor during an affair. Recently, however, that has changed. Many jurisdictions now view this type of killing as motivated by mental health factors. A killing involving denial of pregnancy is now dealt with in a more lenient fashion. For example, the notorious Kelly Lane case from Australia involved a woman who was convicted in 2010 for the 1996 murder of her daughter. She was sentenced to 18 years, eligible for parole in just 13 years. In 2022, a Pennsylvania woman named Gail Eastwood Ritchie was found guilty of the 1993 murder of her infant son. She was sentenced to life in prison. However, she is eligible for parole in just 15 years. If Lakin Snelling is charged with murder or manslaughter and is found to have the affective type of denial of pregnancy, she may not benefit from the same degree of leniency. A woman with this type of denial cognitively understands that she is pregnant and still knows the difference between right and wrong. Her best hope now is to avoid being charged in the first place. Those are my thoughts on the case of Lakin Snelling. Thank you so much for watching. I'll talk to you soon. Denial of pregnancy may seem like kind of an exotic construct. Like this is something that rarely happens and would never affect most people in any way, not directly or even indirectly. But if one thinks about it, the idea of denying reality, denying something that's happening, which may be considered unpleasant, is pretty pervasive. And it affects people negatively all the time. A lot of problems in life can be traced back to a decision that somebody made to ignore a problem, to deny the very existence of that problem. Sometimes people simply can't admit that bad things are happening in their life. Like maybe their drinking is out of control and they just don't want to face it. They deny having an alcohol problem. I've also seen this in cases involving infidelity. Sometimes it never occurs to a person that their spouse could be unfaithful. So when all these signs come up, like disappearing late at night and mysterious text messages, they never think that an affair is a possibility. It's simply something that couldn't happen. There is a complete denial. It is important to accept reality. It is important to evaluate evidence thoroughly and logically and come to a determination that is realistic. It's a bad idea just to kind of push things away and pretend that they'll just work out on their own or they're not really a problem in the first place. Denial of pregnancy may seem exotic and unusual, but just the idea of denial isn't. So it kind of makes sense that with pregnancy, there would be people who deny that too. It makes sense that that construct exists. Some people just cannot face that reality. Pregnancy has a lot of different implications. It is life-changing. Some people simply aren't ready. Even though this type of denial could be considered a mitigating factor, it is important to remember that it doesn't absolve somebody of wrongdoing. It's not really a great defense for somebody to say they were denying something, therefore they're not responsible. If somebody understands the difference between right and wrong, then they are responsible if they do something wrong. That's how the law is set up. Denial of pregnancy may be a curiosity from a mental health perspective, but it cannot be relied on to offer a defense for legal problems. People, again, need to evaluate the evidence and make logical decisions. Going down the road of denial almost always leads to trouble.